is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Effective altruism. What is effective altruism? I read from the website Effective Altruism. Effective altruism is a project that aims to find the best ways to help others and put them into practice. It's both a research field, which aims to identify the world's most pressing problems and the best solution to them, and a practical community that aims to use those findings to do good. I stop reading. I go to Dan Henniger, the deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. His Wonderland to effective altruism, which is why I'm reading from the site. This connects to a story that is spilling out all over the media, television, print media, online, of something called FTX, a crypto exchange, and a young man named Sam Bankman-Fried. Dan, a very good evening to you. How does that challenging definition of effective altruism, which I don't hold in my mind when I read it, how does that connect to Sam Bankman-Fried and what is now a scandal? Good evening to you.
Hi there, John. Well, the connection to Mr. Bankman-Fried is that while he is now famous or infamous for the collapse of his cryptocurrency company that he founded, FTX, which itself has gone into bankruptcy, it is now being run by John Ray, who was the specialist who came in to rationalize Enron after that collapsed. And Mr. Ray said he has never seen another company with fewer financial controls or due diligence than FTX. That's what's in the news. What I wrote about was what Mr. Bankman-Fried purported to be the point and purpose of it all, which was, in fact, effective altruism. And effective altruism is the idea that you try to find the most high return things to do good with your money and contribute to them. It's a kind of a philosophy and a system. And he purported that he wasn't in cryptocurrency for the money. He said that he was might keep 1% of the profits for himself and that he was going to give the rest of it away through his FTX foundation and effective altruism. So ultimately, we are given to believe that Sam Bankman-Fried was not in the business of cryptocurrency. He was only indirectly in that business, that his goal in life was simply to do good, if you can believe that, John.
Hey, to do good, I understand. I looked up one particular aspect of his philanthropy. It was, I believe, a lab in the Cambridge area, might be Harvard. And the man running the lab, his remarks within hours of these revelations, because it's been days and pounding news, changing all the time. Whoppers about the Bahamas, about $40 million estates, about wild parties, people flying in, all kinds of nonsense. But this was a very practical researcher. He said, I've got to find new funds because it's the money I had promised is not going to come, and I have to keep these people employed, meaning his lab assistants. Now, that is not effective altruism. That is, in fact, making a crisis in the life of a researcher and his friends. I can't believe that Bankman-Fried intended that, but did he, Dan? Are we talking about a philanthropy that was showboating only and not the real thing?
Well, you know, John, I think it's going to be up for the U.S. legal system to determine the answer to whether Mr. Bankman-Fried was engaged in this business in good faith or whether it was, in fact, a criminal enterprise. But the fact of the matter is that it was one of the most famous cryptocurrency companies out there. He was its most famous proponent. He was on television and in the media all the time. And obviously, hundreds, thousands and thousands of people who invested in FTX are now upset that they may have lost all their money. It raises the question, though, John, these were not 12-year-olds investing in FTX. These were fully formed adults who presumably had some idea of what they were getting into. But they seem apparently to have simply bought into the idea, like so many of the TV commercials that were done by FTX, enlisting people like Tom Brady and Gisele Buchanan saying, I'm in on FTX and cryptocurrency. What exactly did they think they were investing in? Same with the people who took money from Mr. Bankman-Fried's foundation, like this Harvard researcher. Didn't he think he should do some due diligence, or did he simply assume that all this money was real? I mean, there just seems to have been a fantastic collapse from the beginning of FTX to its ignominious end in the idea of due diligence. These are consenting adults who invested their money or took this money Sam Bankman-Fried, and now everyone is left holding the bag. There has to be a lesson in there somewhere, John, about the condition of both modern finance and modern morality.
You also introduced in your column something that when I read it, I thought, oh, wow, did we do this? Remember Save the Whales, Dan? Save the Whales. We thought it was an innocent comment. In the 20th century, Star Trek even made a wonderful movie about it, where they came back into the 21st century, or they were living in the 24th century, and alien creatures showed up who were related to the whales and wanted to persecute mankind for being cruel to whales. Save the Whales was innocent. What happened to it? What does effective altruism make of Save the Whales?
Well, I'm not sure what effective altruism makes of it exactly, but what was striking, I mean, as the Wall Street Journal reported about Sam Bankman-Fried's philanthropy and foundation, is that one of the things he said he was going to do with his charity was prevent nuclear war. You know, you look at that and you go, excuse me, prevent nuclear war. There was a point, John, somewhere along the line where simple charity like Save the Whales got transformed into, say, Save the Planet, which is to say it got transformed into an odd combination of moral tendentiousness and grandiosity of purpose. It's an odd combination. Moral superiority about the things one is doing, such as solving the quote-unquote climate crisis or stopping nuclear war, reducing social inequality, which has been going on since the passage of the Civil Rights Act, suddenly became social justice. And in every way, there was a kind of moral vanity driving these things that I think ultimately became political, John, which is to say the idea was that the political left would assume these positions like Save the Planet or social justice, and that the idea was that anyone who didn't buy into this moral tendentiousness would be marginalized by it. You'd be driven out of the conversation. And it's funny that an idea as simple as basic Christian charity could have been so transmogrified into something gross of the sort that Sam Bankman-Fried created.
We have about a minute, Dan, and your paper is covering this very carefully, the news reporting and the editorial page right now. What is the scale of this, Dan? Is this going to be a story for the end of the year, or are we talking about something spilling out over a generation? How do you measure it now, Dan?
Psychologically, the question is, what is this generation engaged in? Let's give someone like Elon Musk his due. He created Tesla. It's real cars doing real things. SpaceX is real. But a lot of these young, brilliant people, minds engaged in things like Google, Facebook, and FTX, where's the there there? And if they're not really creating much of anything real, do they themselves understand anymore what's real in the world? I think that's the big question going forward.
Daniel Henniger is the deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, writing his column, Wonderland. I'm John Batchelor.